choices where choice really matters. I converse with established and upcoming conscious leaders in the fields of human potential, intuition, spirituality, and metaphysics, providing empowering information for you to live a five-star balanced life. When you were born, you came to Earth with everything you needed to make life a success. Together, let's discover your pathway to greater success. To find out more about me, upcoming show guests, the classes, consultations, energy work, and holistic healings that I provide, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. Now, I've been told by my clients that they keep it real while providing accurate information and profound deep healings as they face the lessons they agree to learn in this particular lifetime. Remember to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and connect with me on LinkedIn. My opt-in newsletter, Healing News, is available through my website, MoniqueChapman.com, or you can join from my Facebook page. And this hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Alexander Lloyd. He's the author of Beyond Willpower, From Stress to Success in 40 Days. So if you'd like to get in on this hour, give us a call at 602-666-0027. Again, that number is 602-666-0027. 666027. Once you're in the system, press star 5. That way I can see that you're in the room and I can call on you. If you have issues about calling, you can always hit me up in the chat room or send me an inquiry from the Achieve Radio homepage. Now, Alexander Lloyd lives in Franklin, Tennessee and holds doctorates in psychology and naturopathic medicine. His 12-year search for a cure for his wife's depression led to the discovery in 2001 of the Healing Codes, system to heal the source of virtually any physical, emotional success or relational issues. His latest book, Beyond Willpower, The Secret Principles to Achieving Success in Life, Love, and Happiness is available everywhere. This book is a life-changing book. It's full of exercises and diagrams to assist you along your path as you're shifting your energy to the positive. And you can find out more about him by going to his website, beyondwillpowernow.com. Again, that website, beyondwillpowernow.com. Welcome, Alexander. Or can
Thank
I call
you,
Alex?
Monique. It's wonderful to be here. Alexander, Alex, hey you. I'll answer about anything.
Be careful what you ask for. Well, I'll settle with Alex, okay?
Okay, that'll work.
Okay, absolutely love the book. It's different from the self-help books that are out there on the market right now. In fact, in the book, I'm going to switch this up a little bit. In the book, you say 97% of self-help books kind of fail, and I'm going to phrase it to that there's only a success rate of 3% of the programs. Why and how is your program different?
Well, it was either going to be different or I wasn't going to do it because this came out of my own failure, my own slide into the ditch when I was in my 20s. And I'd been reading all of the self-help classics, the spiritual classics. I'd been talking to people that were a lot smarter and wiser than me. And in other words, I was trying to do the stuff that would make me successful. I loved your intro, Monique, and I agree with you that I believe, too, that we come to this earth with everything that we need for success. But with most people, And I'm going to stick to that 97% figure. We get off track, and it's not that we don't have what we need for success. It's just that we've gotten off track. In fact, I think literally a switch in our brain has gotten flipped. But anyway, your question was, how is this one different? It's basically the opposite. Going back 75 years to Think and Grow Rich, and I don't want to say negative things about any of those wonderful people, wonderful authors, especially some of the great self-help books today. I know some of those authors. Some of them stay in my home. I stay in their home. You know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. We're good friends. So I'm not at all trying to be disparaging of them. I think they're, by and large, really good people. But if you look at the self-help success books going back 75 years, almost all of them have the same blueprint, and it boils down to three steps. Number one, decide what you want. Number two, develop a plan to get it and change the plan as needed. And number three, with your willpower, put the plan into action until you get it.
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense. I mean, from an early age, that's how we learn. You know, I want an ice cream, plan to get an ice cream cone, go get an ice cream cone. And it worked. I get my ice cream cone. But what the new research is pointing out, I think emphatically and undeniably, is that that three-step plan is actually a three-step plan for failure, because it turns the failure mechanism in our brain on and the success mechanism in our brain off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're operating out of a place of fear then when we engage that way?
Yeah. I believe you're right. According to Dr. Carolyn Leaf in her best-selling book, Who Switched Off My Brain, when we come into this earth, as you said in your intro, we do not have one mechanism for the negative, for the failure, for the health problem, for whatever it is. Every mechanism we have in our body, mind, spirit is positive and for success, okay? So when we experience a negative, according to Dr. Leaf's research, it is always a malfunction. And I believe that starts in the brain. And the stress/fear response activated when we are not in imminent danger is at the root of almost every negative thing in our life. Failure, health problems, broken relationships, stressful, on-edge relationships, almost everything that you can name. And it's because our failure, fear, stress switch in the brain is switched on, and the success switch, which we also have, and it's not just the failure one being turned off, we also have a success switch. Turning the failure switch on inherently turns it off. So we're in a situation where we're trying to be successful, but if we're following the three-step blueprint that turns the failure mechanism on, it is literally almost impossible. And the consequence of that is the 97% failure rate going back 75 years.
Okay. Now, you also say in your book that virtually every problem or lack of happiness and success come from an internal state of fear in some form. Could you talk to us more about this? And I think you just touched on it, but could you go a little bit deeper?
Yeah, absolutely. And let me start that by talking about the success switch. The success switch in the brain is the natural release of oxytocin and related peptides, endorphins, etc. In fact, they're called love hormones. Okay? That's the other name for them, is love hormones. And according to Dr. Ben Johnson, who's the only medical doctor in The Secret, if we were ever able to produce a pill that caused the release in the brain of oxytocin and these related peptides, it would be by far, nothing else would ever come close to being the top-selling drug of all the time. It would be the happy and healthy and successful all the time pill. Okay? And, of course, for decades they've been trying to do that, because if a pharmaceutical company could do that, they would, you know, they couldn't count the money fast enough. The problem is no pill or no injection can do it. It has to naturally be released in the brain. It cannot pass the blood-brain barrier. Now, the research says that one of the things that causes this to happen naturally is love. It's in our memories, in actuality, at the moment, with a relationship, etc. Okay, so we have the failure switch, which is fear. The other name for the stress response is the fear response. So we, and by the way, that's not failure if your life is in imminent danger. If your life's in imminent danger, it's supposed to kick in, and it better kick in, and it's a failure if it doesn't kick in. The mm-hmm. problem is we have it kicking in 8, 10, 15 times a day when it should be kicking in once every 3 or 4 months when the 18-wheeler's about to pull over on us on interstate or something, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the success switch can only be flipped on when we are not in stress. Stress okay. turns it off inherently. We can't be in fear and love at the same time unless our life is in imminent danger, meaning my son is hanging off the edge of a cliff or something. So that's stress and love at the same time. I love my son, and so I run faster than I've ever been able to run to go rescue him, but I'm also in fight or flight because it's a life-threatening situation for him, right. and I love him. But mm-hmm. outside of that, I'm supposed to be in, if you will, a chemical state of love and not fear, basically 24/7. And if I am, man, I experience off the charts happiness, health, can leap small buildings in a single bound, that feeling when you're in love that you don't need any sleep and you're not tired the next day, and mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. So what Beyond Willpower is all about is giving people tools where they can, on demand, deprogram and reprogram themselves to get out of stress into a chemical state of love and be successful, happy, healthy, etc.
Okay, so talk to us a little bit more about that stress and the love. So the stress hormone would be like cortisol, that's or the
right.
failure, I guess, would be the cortisol that we produce, and that gives the big belly and not so wonderful thought patterns. And then the success would be the oxytocin.
Right. And it's not just cortisol. Cortisol is part of it, but when we go mm-hmm. into fight or flight stress, it primarily does five things. Number one, it makes us sick because the first thing it does is suppress or turn off our immune system. Number two, it dumbs us down. It shunts blood flow away from our higher neurological centers to our lower neurological centers. So our problem solving, creativity, all that stuff is out the window. Number three, it makes us tired because after an initial cortisol adrenaline burst of energy that lasts for a few minutes, we go into adrenal or cortisol crash, which can literally last for decades if you stay in fight or flight, which a lot of people are doing these days. And then the fifth thing is it causes us to fail. I'm sorry, I left out number four. Number four, it causes us to do whatever we're doing at the time. Going to the grocery, doing our job, interacting with our children, whatever we're doing at the time, it causes us to do that from a negative perspective, even if we paint on a happy face, which means more internal stress because I'm trying to act happy when inside I don't feel happy and feel good. And I didn't even include the one you said about causing us to gain weight. Every weight loss thing you'll ever see talks about cortisol causing the buildup of fat. So that's a sixth one, and there's probably 10 or so others, but those are the main five. And included in those five is almost any negative thing you could ever name about your life outside of a tornado or a stock market crash or something like that. Now, on the other hand, with the release of oxytocin and the peptides, here's what comes from that, according to the clinical research. Enhanced relationships, love, joy, and peace, the feeling, experience, and thoughts of love, joy, and peace, increased immune function, reduced stress, lowered blood pressure, counteracted addiction and withdrawal, the production and release of human growth hormones so that you're reversing the aging process. It increases trust and wise judgment, modulates appetite, creates healthy digestion and metabolism, promotes healing, stimulates relaxation, stimulates non-stress energy. It goes on and on and on and on. It's almost decide something that you would see as success in your life, and this does that. So the failure list is almost everything you could name, and the success list is almost everything you could name, and it's all based on what's going on in the brain.
Okay. Well, I want to take that what's going on to the brain one step further. We're full of cells in our body. And in your book, you talk about cellular memory, and that's truly
right.
The cause of our pain and our anxiety. So how does all of this come together?
Yeah. So the next question, if you're looking at this logically over a period of days or weeks or months, would be, okay, but what's causing my brain to flip the fear stress switch when I'm not in imminent danger? And is there a way to intentionally flip the success oxytocin peptide switch? So the first research I'm aware of that really nailed that was from Southwestern University Medical School in Dallas, Texas, a mainstream American medical school and medical center. And the article came out in the Dallas Morning News in 2004, and they were interviewing Dr. Eric Nessler, who's a medical doctor from Harvard, who was the head of the department at Southwestern. And the reason for the interview is that Southwestern had been doing research for a period of time that they thought might uncover the cause of illness and disease. You know, if you get cancer, if you're feeling bad and go into the doctor and they run all these tests and everything, and the doctor comes out and he looks down at his shoes and he clears his throat several times, and then he says, "Alex, I'm so sorry to tell you, but you have," you know. And then after I recover from the shock of that, a question I'm likely to ask is, "Okay, doc, but how did I get this? How did I get cancer? How did I get?" Well, what most people don't realize is the most common answer to that question by expert medical doctors is, "We don't know." So this research at Southwestern, they thought they might find where this stuff comes from and what causes it, and maybe eventually how we can start preventing or healing it. And so at the end of the research, Southwestern and Dr. Nessler are metaphorically jumping up and down saying, "We found it. We have finally found the source of illness and disease." And that was the purpose of the interview. And in the interview, and the whole interview is in the book, but in the interview, Dr. Nessler says, "This will mean the difference. We found the source, and this is going to mean the difference in the future between life and death." He said, "This is going to mean the difference between illness and disease and health." And if you read all the research, what I came away with is this is going to mean the difference in everything. Happiness, unhappiness, great relationships versus poor relationships. I mean, they really did find it. This is the source of virtually any problem you can have. And Dr. Nessler said, "We are naming this cellular memory." Now, if you're listening to this, just delete the word cellular, to use a computer analogy. It's just your memories, okay? So so if you've got memories with, let's say, anger in them, okay? For years in psychology, we thought that you know, those repressed memories or those trauma memories or painful memories, if we weren't thinking about them, by and large, just kind of sat over in the corner and behave themselves, okay? Today we know nothing could be further from the truth, that those memories with anger in them, with fear in them, with low self-worth, with unforgiveness, with I can't do it, whatever it is, those negative frequency memories, they do not sit in the corner and behave themselves. They are like little radio stations or smartphones, and they constantly send out that anger, fear, or whatever it is signal, and that signal is received by the hypothalamus in the brain, which causes it to turn on the stress, fear, failure switch in the brain when you are not in imminent danger, which is the only time that's really supposed to happen, okay? So in reality, if your life is not what you want it to be, physical health, relationships, career, that would include finances in a lot of cases, achievement, just overall happiness, whatever. If your life is not what you want it to be, there is no true long-term healing without healing your memories. And according to Dr. Bruce Lipton from Stanford Medical School, the memories that have to be healed over 90% of the time are in your subconscious. And so once we start talking about the subconscious and unconscious, the definition of that is sort of, you don't even know what it is. So for true long-term healing, you have to heal these memories that you don't even know you have, and if you suspect you have them because your life isn't going so great, you still don't know what they are because they're in your own subconscious. They might even be generational. So that's what the book is about, is how can you, on demand, using actual tools, get down there in your inner subconscious, or what I call the spiritual heart, because that's what Solomon called it 3,000 years ago, and find and heal these memories so that you can flip that switch in your brain from fear, stress, failure, to love, peace, success.
Okay. You know, in the book I read something very interesting, and it was around the area that you were just talking about, and I don't remember the person's name, but they had a transplant, and I think I remember it being a woman, and she had a heart and lung transplant, and she was a certain way, of course, before the surgery, but after the transplant surgery, she was completely different, doing things that she had never done before. And it sounds like she might have got a black lung or heart because she wanted greens and all kinds of things that you would associate with, you know, soul food. So talk to us a little bit more about that, something that's foreign to us coming into our system and basically taking over.
Right. Yeah, those documented cases are fairly common. I've got a file of them myself, and that's just sort of ones I've stumbled on. The one in the book that you're talking about, I believe her name was Claire Sylvia. And yeah, she was a dancer. She was very health conscious. She liked, you know, more muted colors. She was very careful about what she ate and put into her body. And after the transplant, she became angry, she became aggressive, she started liking really bold colors, she started dressing differently, and she developed an insatiable craving for Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay? And then, after discovering who the donor was, who was a male, who was a motorcycle guy, who was aggressive, who did like bold colors, you know, all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was down to the point that the gentleman, when he had the wreck, which is where he died, he uh-huh. had Kentucky Fried Chicken with him when
oh,
he died, and that was like his favorite food ever.
Uh-huh.
And these cases are pretty well documented. But one thing that these things show is that these memories become locked not just in our brain, but in cells all over our body and even in the energy information field around the cells. So
uh-huh.
if you're going to change those, it has to be a systemic change. It has to be something at your core and source that radiates out to all of your cells from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and changes those cells from anger to patience, from anxiety and worry to peace, from I can't do it to I can do it, from unforgiveness to forgiveness, etc. And wishful thinking, affirmations, things like that just are not very typically successful at doing those kind of things. It has to happen in that unconscious, subconscious area.
Okay. Okay. Now, in the book, I kind of gathered that you're not a big fan of affirmations, but
uh-huh.
you do believe in reprogramming statements. What's the
right.
difference?
Yeah. That's a very good question. Back in the, I guess it would be the 80s and 90s, affirmations were just so huge. They're still big today, but if anything, they were even bigger then. And everybody I ran into, it seemed like, was using affirmations about something. And it just didn't make sense to me. You know, I think I used an example in the book of someone who, you know, had some pretty significant stomach issues, and they kept saying, you know, my stomach is healing, my stomach is fine, my stomach is, you know, whatever. And I would ask them periodically, you know, is that helping? And you know, sometimes they would say, I think it is, you know. And then sometimes they were not so sure, and sometimes I'm getting kind of tired of it. It's not really, you know, whatever. So anyway, when I started my naturopathic work, one of the things I did was take the medical test for stress that's in every hospital. It's been the gold standard test in standard medicine for the last 35, 40 years. It's called heart rate variability.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought all the equipment. And one of the things I did, just sort of playing around for about a year and a half, is with people who did those kind of affirmations, I would hook them up to the heart rate variability equipment, and then I would have them, after getting a baseline, of course, and then I would have them say those affirmations, like my stomach is getting better, or whatever it happened to be.
Uh-huh.
And in virtually every single case, saying the affirmations spiked their stress. As soon as they said it, bam, spiked their stress. For
uh-huh.
a year and a half, over and over and over, person after person after person. And so probably 6 years ago or so, the very first double-blind university study on affirmations that I know of, and it was headline news because I think it was the first one anyone had ever heard of, and so it was on news channels, it was on internet, it was everywhere, you know, this double-blind university study on affirmations. And what they found was exactly what I found with my heart rate variability testing. They found that if the person has positive self-worth and believes the statement that they're saying is true, that the affirmation is mildly beneficial. But
okay.
if the person does not have very positive self-worth, or they do not completely believe that that affirmation is true, like my stomach is healing when my stomach is killing me, uh-huh. it makes things worse, not better. And the great majority of the people in the study fell in the category of not having great self-worth and not believing the statement. So the great majority of the people, the affirmations were making their conditions worse. And coupled with that playing around I did for a year and a half, I know why. It's because they were, to their spiritual heart, it was like they were saying a lie. They were saying that they something they did not believe was true, and it was spiking their stress. A reprogramming statement, or what I call a truth-focused statement, on the other hand, is only saying a statement that you absolutely believe with all your heart is the truth. For instance, let's take the guy with the stomach problems again. Instead of saying, I believe that my stomach problems are healing when his stomach is killing him, and it's almost impossible to believe that at a time like that. So instead of doing that, I might have that person say, I believe my stomach problems can heal. Okay? But I would ask him first, do you believe that's true? Do you believe they can heal with all your heart, no reservation? You believe it's possible for them to heal? And if he does believe that, then I would have him start there. Now, maybe after a week or two of that, He's saying, you know what? I believe now that there's a really good chance they will heal. And I would say, oh, okay, are you sure you believe that? I don't want wishful thinking here. Are you sure you believe that? Because we don't want to make your condition worse by saying something that your unconscious interprets as a lie. Yeah, I really believe it. Okay. Then this week, start saying that. I believe my stomach will get better, even though it's still hurting me now, okay? Then maybe in another week or two, he's feeling even better, and this is what typically happened when we did it this way, rather than the way affirmations are normally done. He's saying, you know what? It's been hurting a whole lot less. I believe it is getting better. All right, great. You believe that? Okay, let's say that. Okay, so it's going through a progression, but it's not wishful thinking. It's not the law of attraction. It's not if I say this, it'll come, which in my experience very often doesn't happen. Uh-huh. It is working the way your un and subconscious work, saying something positive that you believe is true, which promotes healing instead of being interpreted as a lie and spiking stress, which is how you got the stomach problem in the first place.
Okay, so let's tie this around and bring it back into how do we heal the memories so we don't get caught in this cycle? I don't want you to give away the book, of course, but, I mean, give us a high-level version.
Sure. I think there's two ways. Maybe three ways. The first one, and what happened to me, I would call a transformational aha. Mm-hmm. And it is where over a period of time, which is different for every person, you meditate and pray fairly intensively on a set of spiritual principles, okay, that are designed not with the three-step plan from the last 75 years that has the 97% failure rate, but with a plan that's almost the opposite of that, that I have personally, with people I've worked with, witnessed a 97%+ success rate. So the first way is to meditate and pray fairly intensively over a period of time over these principles. And probably, I would guess, probably 50-60% of the time, at some point, the transformational aha occurs. And that's where your spiritual heart or your unsubconscious mind literally change their mind. Literally take one software program out and put another one in because they are now convinced that that other software program is detrimental to you, is causing the problems, and we need to get rid of it. And that is living your life based on external physical expectations and willpower, which is what the three-step failure rate for the last 75 years is. Step number one and two are expectations. Step number three is willpower. According to Dr. Dan Gilbert at Harvard, in research done on the campus at Harvard, expectations are a happiness killer. And if you read his best-selling book about the research called Stumbling into Happiness, it's not just happiness. It kills everything. It kills your health. It kills your relationships. Because, according to the research, the instant you have an external expectation in the future somewhere, it puts you into immediate chronic stress for as long as you have that goal. If you're already in stress, it spikes your stress, okay? And then research from Dr. Bruce Lipton at Stanford Medical School says that the odds of trying to succeed at doing something in your life that you've never been able to do before, whether it's heal a health issue or become successful at something, without deprogramming and reprogramming your subconscious mind first, the odds of doing that successfully are roughly 1 million to 1. Okay?
Wow.
So, if when we have this transformational aha, it changes everything in the unsubconscious mind from fear to love. It's like this big whoosh, like a positive domino effect or something like that changes your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, your actions, the energy of your body, your cells. It changes everything. Now, that only happens 50 to 60% of the time. The other 30 to 40% of the time, we're going to use tools, all right? And it took me 25 years to discover, test, and perfect these tools. And there's three of them. We are, at our basic nature, in my opinion, a lot of people would have different opinions about this, a three-part being, body, mind, spirit, okay? And we could say that different ways. We could bring soul in and some other things. And I wouldn't argue with some of that stuff. But for argument's sake, let's say we're a three-part being, body, mind, spirit. Well, the research on that says, and this is all in the book and would take a lot longer than we have tonight to describe all of this, but the research on that that's come out says that each of those parts of our being speak a different language. The unsubconscious mind, or what I believe Solomon called the spiritual heart 3,000 years ago, the language of the spiritual heart is images. The language of the mind, the conscious mind, will, and emotions is words, and the language of the body is pure frequency. So the three tools, there's three of them for the three parts of our being, and the one for the unconscious mind and the spiritual heart is images. It's a certain set of images meditating on them a certain way for a certain length of time, and at the same time, words, a specific set of words in certain order and a series of steps and statements that you take yourself through to reprogram your conscious mind, will, and emotions, and then pure frequency for the body, and all three of them done at the same time. So those are the tools. Now, the other way, I would say, that you can accomplish this is prayer and meditation, and just over time. I mean, I believe in a God source love, and I believe that God source love can touch me and do a miracle. Uh-huh. And so I would add that there's that way too. Now that's not really in the scope of the book. But uh-huh. for the book we teach people the transformational aha and exactly how to do it. And then if that doesn't happen over a few weeks usually, you can do the tools which will do it on demand.
Okay. So could you bypass the first part and just jump to the tools?
Yeah, you could, but I never advise that because the transformational aha is so doggone cool.
Uh-huh.
it's just awesome. It's a spiritual experience, and
uh-huh.
and it is so powerful that I would choose it 7 days a week and twice on Sunday, and I would advise that for anyone else too. Now, even if you have the transformational aha, I would still say use the tools in the future as things come up that you need to kind of tweak and work on. So you're still probably going to be doing both. But yeah, the answer to your question is yes. If you wanted to do that, you could.
Okay. Well, you know, folks, I have to tell you, you know, in reading his book and doing some of the exercises, he gives very clear instructions on what to do and how to do it. So you don't have to wonder if you're doing it right or wrong or, you know, second guess yourself. If you just follow it, you will feel a shift, provided you allow yourself to. So this program that he's created has definitely turned the tables, if you will, on self-help. And again, you can shift the energy of your life in 40 days. And that's a short period of time in the great big scheme of things. Now, Alex, in your book, you talk about desire. What is desire?
Yeah, I differentiate between desire and a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, I had a person that I worked with this with as a client, who was a contractor in a relatively small town. But he was one of the biggest contractors in the small town. This story's in the book, and he contacted me, and his goal for 10 years had been to make $1 million in a year. Not gross, but net in his pocket, okay?
Uh-huh.
Which is
uh-huh.
an enormous amount of money. But anyway, he contacted me and he said, in 10 years of having that as my goal, the closest I've ever come is $500,000. Halfway there. And
uh-huh.
and when I got to know him a little bit, I mean, this guy was major type A. He drove his employees, you know, metaphorically with a whip and worked them long hours and didn't pay them like he should have. He cut corners on his clients in order to try to make more money. He had a very unhealthy lifestyle. When I asked him, what would you do with $1 million, he wanted to buy a new sports car and go on a golfing. Everything was about him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so we reworked his goals, and I said, okay, you can no longer have making $1 million in a year as your goal, because that's an external expectation in the future, and according to Harvard and my experience too, that will put you into chronic stress and almost guarantee failure and that you'll never reach it, which had been his experience, okay?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But you can have that as a desire. But the desire means that you're giving it up. I say giving it up to God. You can say giving it up to source, giving it up to love, whatever, okay?
Uh-huh.
But that's the difference. A goal we tend to take ownership of and say, this is the thing that I need to have happen, okay? A desire kind of determines the direction that we're walking in, but we can give that up. And say, okay, you know what? That is not my gig. Whether that,
uh-huh.
whether that end result happens or not. My job is just to be the best contractor I can be today and treat my clients right today and try to be healthy today. And we reworked some of his other things too, like giving back to the community, becoming more healthy, becoming more family oriented. Anyway, I never in a million years, Monique, thought he would actually follow through with it because he was so off the charts, type A and driven and unhealthy. And I wondered, always wondered what had happened. And about a year and a half later, I got a phone call, and he said, "Hey, Doc, I bet you don't know who this is." And I did. I immediately knew who it was. I'd been wondering what had happened. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I bet you never thought I would do what you taught me to do." But he said, "I did it to the letter." And he said, I tried everything else. I thought this was kind of my last chance. And he said, "I just wanted to call and let you know that I did not make $1 million the next year." He said, "I made over $1.5 million, and I'm on track this year to make even more than that." He said, "I've got a waiting list for clients." And he said, "Doc, I couldn't tell you if my life depended on it how in the world it happened." He said, "This has been the easiest year of work I've ever had in my life." He said, "I cut back my hours. I cut back my employees' hours. I gave them all a raise. I quit cutting corners. I started doing a Habitat for Humanity kind of thing in the community. I started doing all this family stuff." He said, "I have no clue how it happened." Well, the reason it happened, in my opinion, Monique, is because for all those years, he had been violating spiritual principles that you cannot violate any more than gravity and get away with it. We just think we can. And after I worked with him, he started living in harmony with the spiritual principles. That's what happened. And that is basically what always happens when a person starts living in harmony with what I call the spiritual laws of nature.
Okay. Well, we've got a caller online. We've got Anita calling in from, I think, Minnesota. Hello, Anita.
Hello, Anita.
Hi.
I'm actually in Arizona right now, and I kind of missed the show. That's okay. I just wanted to connect and I apologize for missing the show. Just I caught some of it. And it's basically, I'm embarrassed. But I didn't hear most of your speaker. I'll listen back on archives.
Okay, so what's your question? Because we're kind of short on time. So how can we help you, hon?
Okay, I'm going through, I'm back in Arizona, and as you heard before on the show, I have an accident, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if there's any, they found that actually since almost 7 years, or 6.5 years, that a lot of this has been happening from my hip. I don't know if I need to do anything illegal or just take care of all the finances that I put out into this to just go ahead and get the surgery, because after that they don't know what else they're going to find.
Okay, you know, you need to go back and listen to this show because, Alex, I want you to chime in on this if you will. But what he's been talking about for this whole almost hour is actually speaking to you, because you've kind of been stuck in this energy. Okay, that for whatever reason you can't or won't let go of. So, Alex, talk to Nia. She's been in disarray for quite some time. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's still there. So talk to her for a moment, please.
Yeah, it's very, very common. You know, we have a physical health issue which causes pain. Our most basic programming that we come into this world with is to seek pleasure and avoid pain, and we start to equate pain equals bad, pleasure equals good. So we have pain, we say that's very bad, and we start to focus on it more, okay? Well, the problem with that is, according to the research, just the fact that we're doing that spikes our stress, which makes our pain worse and locks us into a vicious cycle. So what I would say is you also don't necessarily ignore it. I mean, I'd go to your doctor, especially a naturopath, if you know a good one, and say, okay, what would you suggest I do for this from a physical perspective? But for a long-term perspective, you don't need to just put out the fires. You need to fix the source of the fire, which is your internal stress, which is made worse by focusing on that physical problem, and even worse yet, by thinking that that's your real problem. When the real question is, why do you have this problem in the first place, and why hasn't your body already healed it? Which is back to stress, which is back to your internal programming. So what my solution is go see your naturopath, do what he tells you to do, but then also at the same time, start fixing your internal programming from darkness to light, from fear to love, from falsehood to truth, and it'll start to shift everything, and you may be amazed what happens to those physical things as that stress goes away and your immune system starts to come up and heal, which it probably hasn't been doing because of the stress focus on the physical problem.
Mm-hmm. And Anita, I'm short on time, so I got to tell you this. Go get the book. It's called Beyond Willpower. It's available on Amazon in just about every place. Okay. It's Beyond Willpower, From Stress to Success in 40 Days. Alexander Lloyd, Dr. Alexander Lloyd. Get it. Read it. Everything that he's been talking about tonight, the exercises are in the book. There's diagrams in the book. It's idiot proof. Okay. Do it. If you do this, I see intuitively a huge shift for you. So it's like you have no more excuses. You just have to, you know, beg, borrow, steal, you know, $30. It's probably less than that on Amazon. And, you know, start healing your life. Choice is yours, sweetheart. Okay?
Okay, yeah, because I went into fear. So, and mistrust. So I have to... Okay, so I try to put everything as a positive, and then so it's basically an alone process. You have to do it internally alone and keep strength.
But you don't have to do, you know, take some time with you because you keep running from yourself, and that's why you can't create, okay? So for you, I'm going to say, yeah. Normally I'd say no, but for you, yes. I'm going to say, yeah, alone. It's a process you're going to do alone. You're going to get the book. You're going to read the book. You're going to follow what the book tells you for 40 days.
Okay.
Day 41, you will see a difference. Again, a choice is yours.
Okay, and then also, do you
honey, I don't have an also. I've got like 30 seconds.
Okay.
I don't have an also. Okay, so thank you very much for calling in. Folks, if you want to connect with Dr. Alex, you can do so by going to his website, and that's Beyond, what is it, Alex? I know you have
BeyondWillPowerNow.com will get you there, and there's free videos, free audios, all kinds of free stuff on there.
Yeah. Well, Alex, I thoroughly enjoyed you. I thoroughly enjoyed your book. This is a keeper. I don't say that about all books, but this is a keeper. And I do appreciate your time and energy.
Well, thank you, Monique. It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. We'll have to do it again.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. And I'd like to thank you, the audience, for being with me tonight. I am honored, grateful, and I do appreciate your time and your attention. When you're ready to shift the energy of your life to the master level, give me a call at 888-240-6057, or you can email me at Monique@MoniqueChapman.com. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. And remember, the most important choice that you make is what you choose to make important. Make the masterful choice. Choose happiness. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.